You will please open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 27, the passage that was read in our hearing just a few moments ago by Dan. And we're going to read a little bit more of it maybe as we talk about the trial of Jesus a little bit, and in particular some reasons that Pilate lost his soul. We don't want to be like Pilate. We don't want to be guilty of the same mistakes that he made. And he certainly made some mistakes. The trial of Jesus was a most unique trial. It was the trial of an innocent man. A man that had never done harm to anyone. A man who did not deserve the kangaroo court that he was going through. It was a predetermined outcome as far as the Jewish leadership was concerned. They had no interest at all in the truth. They had no interest at all in fairness. They had no interest at all in justice. They were after the blood of Jesus, and that was all that they wanted. Jesus had been doing his work for about 3.5 years. Jesus had been going about doing good, the Bible says in one place. The Apostle Peter said in his sermon at the household of Cornelius, he went about doing good. He went about doing good in so many different ways. He went about doing good in that he healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk. He healed those with a variety of kind of illnesses and infirmities in their life. But of course, all of that was not just for the humanistic purposes of helping people, although it certainly did help people, and it was a blessing to many people, and he was doing good in that standpoint. His purpose was to point people to God. The purpose of the miracles was to demonstrate completely and fully that he truly was the Messiah, the Son of God. That he was the one whom God had sent to be the Savior of the world. And to that end, for 3.5 years, he had been teaching. He had not only been performing miracles, but he had been teaching. He primarily was a teacher. And he taught the people about God's will. He taught the people to understand the true distinction of the Old and the New Covenant and what the Old Covenant was looking forward to and the coming and the fulfillment of that in the person of the Messiah. He came teaching about true virtues, loving God from the heart and truly serving God from the heart. He came teaching about true worship and worshiping God in spirit and in truth. He came teaching about being right with your fellow man and treating your fellow man properly. He said some things that were revolutionary. Revolutionary. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. Words that the world had never heard before. But Jesus also did something else. Jesus, in pointing people to God, pointed how that the present leaders of the Jewish nation had totally left God. Well, they were religious, but religious in name only. They were hypocrites. And he pointed out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And by pointing out the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of his day, he made lots of enemies. Lots of enemies. His purpose was not to make enemies. His purpose was to preach the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to come into the world, to die for the world, to save the world. But as he preached the truth, the darkness hated him. And Jesus talked about that. And he would warn his disciples, as they have hated me, they will also hate you. And they hated him so much that they took this innocent man and they bring him before Pilate to have him put to death. In verse 11 of chapter 27 of Matthew, where Dan was reading earlier, he began a little bit later, but go back to verse 11 and notice here. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he gave him no answer, not even one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release into the multitude one prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner named Barabbas. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. Who would ye that I release to you, Jesus, Barabbas or Jesus whom they would call Christ? For he knew that for envy he had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have ye nothing to do with this righteous man? For I have suffered many things this night in a dream concerning him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, "Which of the two will I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said unto them, "What then shall I do unto Jesus, whom you call Christ?" What shall I do unto Jesus, whom you call Christ? Pilate was asking this question to the Jews. But really, it was Pilate who would have to answer that question. Pilate had to answer the question, "What are you going to do with Jesus?" The Jews had to answer the question, "What are you going to do with Jesus?" And you know what? We have to answer the question, "What are you going to do with Jesus?" It's a pressing question. No one can escape it. Each and every one of us have to answer the question, "What are you going to do with Jesus?" It's a personal question. No one can answer it but you. Husband and wife cannot answer it for you. Son or daughter cannot answer it for you. Friends and neighbors and workmates cannot answer it for you. Everyone must answer it for themselves. And it's a persistent question. It will not leave you. You can stick it at the back of your mind. You can try to avoid it. You can try to block it out. But that question is there. And will remain there. It is a persistent question. Pilate asked the question, what will you do with Jesus? What was Pilate going to do with Jesus? Pilate failed the answer. Pilate made some bad choices. Today, let's talk for a few moments about some reasons that Pilate didn't pass the test. Some reason that Pilate lost his soul. First of all, I would suggest to you that Pilate lost his soul because he abused his great privilege. You think about the opportunity that Pilate had on this occasion, and we've tried to set the stage and to think about the fact that who was this man, Jesus, who had been traveling and who had been preaching and who had been teaching and who had been performing miracles for these 3.5 years, and now the Jewish leadership has become so angry that they brought this man before Jesus. Undoubtedly, Pilate had heard about Jesus. He may not have known much about him, but it was Pilate's job to know everything that was going about in Judea. Pilate was the governor of Judea. He was the Roman governor or procurator over Judea. And it was his responsibility to keep the peace. It was his responsibility to make sure that there weren't riots and there weren't problems and there weren't challenges within this area. That was his job as the Roman procurator. And as many people who had flocked to Jesus in Galilee, with the number of the multitudes of people who had been coming to him and all the talk that had been about him, Pilate may not have known very much about Jesus, and he certainly wouldn't have known the details about Jesus, maybe, but I can guarantee Pilate knew something was going on. He knew that there was this movement afoot, and he may have even had spies to make sure that there wasn't some kind of subterfuge going on, that there wasn't something among this that would be politically dangerous or damaging to him. Pilate would have known what was going on in his territory. But now, after this 3.5 years of hearing about this man, after this 3.5 years of hearing about all this was going on, he now has this man brought before him. And accusations are being made about Jesus by the Jews. And Pilate has the opportunity to talk with Jesus personally. Think about what a wonderful opportunity this was. Think about the opportunity of being personally able to interview Jesus. Personally being able to talk to Jesus. And so he could have asked Jesus any questions that he wanted to ask. You don't have that opportunity. I don't have that opportunity. But Pilate had the opportunity to talk personally with Jesus. And Jesus could have guided him to eternal life. If he had had an open mind and an open heart, and if he was one that was sincerely seeking the truth, Jesus could have told him exactly what you needed to do. Mr. Pilate, Mr. Roman procurator, here's what you need to do. What would Jesus have told him? We can imagine all sorts of things that Jesus would have told him that he needed to do to make his life right. Pilate didn't take advantage of the opportunity. But there were many who had taken advantage of it. Just a partial list would include people like Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and how that they were friends of Jesus and had cared for Jesus and had been listening to the words of Jesus. We think about some of the women that followed him faithfully and took care of him. Among them were individuals like Mary Magdalene and the other Marys that are mentioned. And we think about Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and others of the disciples that had followed him faithfully and followed him regularly, and a bunch of them that we don't know the names of, although unnamed, followed and listened. In Acts chapter 1, we see that after the death of Judas, the apostles gathered and the Lord had them choose an apostle to take the place of Judas. And two names were put forth. One of them was Matthias, who was chosen. It hadn't have been for that occasion, we wouldn't have known that there was a man by the name of Matthias who had followed. One of the qualifications was that they had been with the Lord from the beginning of the ministry. There were others, unnamed, that we will never know who they were, who had faithfully followed and listened and been a part of this small band that faithfully followed Jesus. They were taking advantage of their opportunities. Well, as we said, we don't have Jesus personally today with us, but we still have opportunities. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities. But even though we don't have him personally to ask questions to, we have the blessing of knowing that we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, that's really quite a statement here in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. At the very beginning of this book, the Apostle Peter talks about the fact that we have all things. We have been granted, we've been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Peter says, who called us by his glory and virtue. That's Jesus. We have his words. We have his teachings. Do we have everything he ever said? No. Do we have everything that we would like to have an answer to? No. Do we have curiosities that we won't know until then? Absolutely, we won't know everything until then. Do we have enough to go to heaven? Absolutely. Do we have enough to please him? Absolutely. Do we have enough to live in this life? The Apostle Peter says that all things that pertain to life and godliness come through a knowledge of him who called us. Through his word, what he's promising. And Peter emphasizes several places in this book. You go back and read 2 Peter. He is emphasizing this full and complete knowledge of God's word that we can have. And he later says in that chapter, we didn't follow cunningly devised fables. We didn't follow fables about Jesus, but we are revealing unto you the truth that was revealed unto us. We can, through the Apostle Peter and the writings of others, have the truth of God. And I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry if something's been lost. He's promised us that all that we need, all that we need to live for Him and to obey Him and to please Him are found within His Word. And so today you have the opportunity. Oh, you can't talk with Jesus personally. Well, you can in prayer, but you don't understand what I mean. He's not here before us. But through His Word, you have the opportunity to hear and to listen or to refuse His Word. You have the opportunity to receive it or to reject it. You have the opportunity to soften your heart or to harden your heart. You have the opportunity to obey your Lord or to refuse His will. Pilate had an opportunity, but he turned away. He didn't take advantage of his opportunity. Will you be a Pilate? Or will you be a Mary or a Martha or a Lazarus? Secondly of all, Pilate refused testimony. He missed an opportunity, but also refused to listen to testimony. First of all, Pilate refused to listen to the testimony of his wife. His wife here gave him some good instructions, some good ideas. We already read from Matthew chapter 27 here where Pilate's wife says, "Has nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Pilate's wife was sending her husband a message. Gentlemen, there's sometimes we need to listen to our wives. There's lots of times we need to listen to our wives. Our wives can be pretty bright and pretty smart, and they can see some things that we don't see. I hear someone over here talking to me.
Not sometimes.
Pilate's wife said, "You have nothing to do with this man. He's a righteous man. I've been suffering in a dream this day because of him." Pilate didn't listen to his wife. Many are warned by loved ones. Many are warned by those who would seek to help them. Many are told about the gospel message. Why do we reject? Why do we refuse to listen to those who love us? Of course, just because they love us is not reason alone, but we need to listen sometimes. Is it pride? Is it stubbornness? Is it selfishness? Is it just the love of this world and the love of pleasure? There's different reasons that people reject testimony around them. Secondly of all, Pilate refused to hear the testimony of his own conscience. It wasn't just his wife that was talking to him. It was his own conscience that was talking to him. The story here, as you read the accounts in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John, and you read the story of the trial of Jesus, and you read through the things that Pilate says, it becomes abundantly clear over and over again that Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. Pilate knew that Jesus had done nothing amiss. Just look at four of the statements. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 23, Pilate asked the multitudes, "What evil has he done?" They said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate says, "Why? What evil hath he done?" In Luke chapter 23, verse 4, Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." Again, they were pressing to put him to death. And Pilate says, "I find no fault in him." In Luke chapter 23, verses 14 and 15, Pilate said, "Behold, I have examined him before you, found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing worthy of death has been done by him." The reference there, of course, is to the fact that during the trial, it came out that Jesus was from Galilee. And Galilee was the area where Herod was ruler. Of course, Pilate was the Roman procurator. He had the general rule of all the area, but the Roman government had allowed the Herodian family to continue to have a certain amount of rule over local territories. And so when he found out that Jesus was from Galilee and Herod was in town for the feast, he said, I'll just send him over to Herod. I'll get rid of this problem. And so he sends him to Herod. We're going to come back to that point in a minute. But the point here is that he had told the crowd, I've examined him and I find no fault with him. And I send him over to Herod and Herod sent him back to me. And Herod could find no fault in him. He's not done anything worthy of death. The point here is that Pilate knew he was innocent. What evil hath he done? I find no fault. Herod finds no fault. Pilate's own conscience was telling him, you let this man go. But he wouldn't listen to the testimony of his own conscience. And thirdly of all, Pilate refused the testimony of Jesus. In John chapter 18, of course, there's a very interesting exchange that's recorded there between Jesus and Pilate. And Jesus says in that context, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end have I been born, to this end am I come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Jesus is admitting before Pilate that yes, he's a king. You say that I am a king, and this was my purpose in coming. Jesus was testifying. This is a critical statement by Jesus. It's critical for us to understand. Jesus says, to this end have I been born. And to this end I've come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Jesus came to preach the truth of God. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth of God. From God our Creator, the fulfillment of God's plan from the beginning of time, God had always had a plan for the salvation of mankind. He worked out that plan through the Old Testament period, through the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Through that family, eventually Jesus was born and came into the world. All this was a part of God's plan. If you've never studied the Bible as a whole, you need to study the Bible as a whole. It's not piecemeal. It all fits together. It's one big, beautiful story. The Old Testament tells that someone is coming. The Gospels tell us that that someone had arrived. The epistles of Paul and Peter and the other apostles tell us that someone is coming again. The whole theme of the Bible is someone. From the beginning of time, God had promised and planned for someone to save the world. All this is a part of the truth that Jesus is talking about. He said, this is the reason I've come, to bear witness to the truth. Those who will hear the truth and obey the truth and love the truth will hear my voice. Pilate refused the testimony of his wife. He refused the testimony of his own conscience. He refused the testimony of Jesus. Our question is, will you receive the testimony of God's Word? Will you today listen to the testimony that Pilate wouldn't listen to? Jesus came with his life and his miracles and his teaching, proving who he was. Jesus came giving himself upon the cruel cross of Calvary and was raised from the dead the third day. Jesus, the Bible testifies and teaches us, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Will you accept the testimony today? The third reason that Pilate caved, that Pilate lost his soul, is because he caved into pressure. Pilate was basically, it just appears to me as we look at the story, Pilate was a weak individual. Have you ever known of some people who are strong yet weak? Maybe we all are in different ways. On the outside, they're crusty and hard and seem like they're strong. But on the inside, they're weak. And that's the way Pilate was. Pilate had, in some ways, he was strong. If history tells us anything correctly, history says that Pilate was one of those individuals that knew where the bodies were buried. He had been a vicious individual. He had climbed up through the ranks by power and by intrigue. He had climbed almost to the top. The only one, he was governor of Judea. The only one he answered to was Caesar in Rome. And he had got to that position because of so many fits of power and immorality. And yet on the inside he was weak. He was weak. He caved clearly to pressure. Pilate's decision was not easy. He was under extreme pressure from the Jews on that day. What I mean it was not easy was the fact that his job as Roman procurator was to keep the peace. And the Jews had always been a pestilent people. They'd always been a troublesome people. And now he is faced with a crowd. He is faced with the Jewish leadership. He is faced with people who want to put this man to death. He knows he's innocent. That's clear. He knows he's done nothing worthy of death. And yet he's trying to keep peace. And if he doesn't keep peace, he could lose his job. He could lose his neck. He could lose his life. They didn't mess around back then. If you didn't do what you were supposed to do, if you didn't keep the peace like you were supposed to, you could be stripped of your position and you may never be heard from again. And so Pilate had on one side his conscience working on him that he knew Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. On the other side, it's his job to keep the peace, and he's got this Jewish leadership and this whole apparently mob of people calling for the death of this man. And he knew from past experience if the Jewish leadership didn't get what they want, they could make it miserable on someone. And so Pilate's caught between a rock and a hard place. He's under extreme pressure. He had no affection for the Jewish leadership. In fact, if history tells us, they were constantly at odds. He had his position as governor to think about. And so instead of doing what was right and most difficult to do, sometimes doing what is right is hard, isn't it? Sometimes doing what is right is really hard. Today we are under pressure in the same way. Oftentimes people want to please others more than they want to serve them, whether it's family or whether it's friends. Sometimes people want to be popular with the crowd, whether it's at work or wherever it may be. It may be fame, it may be fortune, it may be success. Doing the right thing is hard. Haven't we learned that this week? With all these revelations about an individual in Hollywood who used his power and his position to do terrible things. And the hundreds and the hundreds and the hundreds of people who knew about it, apparently. And nobody said a word. Why? Why? They wanted fame and they wanted power and they wanted money. They wanted to be in the movies and they didn't want to get blackballed by someone who might blackball them. We get preached to by Hollywood all the time, but they failed this week. They showed the hypocrisy this week, didn't they? But sometimes, my only point is sometimes doing the right thing is hard. It is hard. You may lose a job. You may not get that movie if you do what is right. You may not be liked by your children if you stand firm and do what you know you need to do and discipline them. You may not be liked by certain people if you do what is right. Pilate had a tough decision. I can empathize with that. But he caved in. Did not do the right thing. Lastly of all, Pilate refused to take responsibility. Every step along the way in this story, Pilate is trying to get out from having to make a decision. He's trying to get away from making the decision. He wants to avoid the responsibility. First, he tried to dismiss the trial. Just out of hand, he tried to dismiss it. In John chapter 18, the Jews come to him and say we want to put this man to death. And he says, why? And basically they say, just trust us. Just trust us. He's broken our law. Just trust us. And he says, well, if that's the case, if you don't want to tell me why you really want him killed, you just take him and deal with him yourself. And so he said, take him and judge him according to your law. Of course, they didn't want that. They wanted him dead, and they couldn't make that sentence. Well, that didn't work, and so the trial proceeded. And as we mentioned a few moments ago, he found out that Jesus was from Galilee, which was the area of Herod. And so he said, I'll get off the hook here by sending Jesus over to Herod and let him make a decision about it. And so he sent him over to Herod, and Herod questioned a little bit, and then he sent him back to Pilate again. And so that didn't work. And then Pilate had another idea. He said, you know, it's the custom at the feast to release a prisoner. I'll just release Jesus. And to try to make it, give them what he thought would be a no-brainer decision, he took one of the worst, Barabbas. And he said, who will I release to you? Barabbas, who is this terrible individual, or this Jesus who is the Christ? He would figure they didn't want this Barabbas back in their neighborhoods again. That'd be a no-brainer. Well, in that case, if it's either Barabbas or Jesus, is what he figured. If it's Barabbas or Jesus, we really want to kill Jesus, but we don't want that rotten scum back in our neighborhoods again. He's a murderer and this and that. Okay, give us Jesus. He was trying to present a picture that would allow them to get him off the hook. Of course, they didn't take the bait, did they? And so they said, oh, kill Jesus. We'll take Barabbas back. That shows you how they felt about Jesus. And after all these attempts to try to relieve himself of the responsibility, he finally just washes his hands, as Dan read to us a few moments ago. And he just washes his hands and says, this is not, I don't have anything to do with this. I don't want anything to do with this. I'm washing my hands of this. Could he do it that easily? Could he get rid of his responsibility that easily? Well, obviously not. It was symbolic only, and it didn't work. You think God in heaven was saying, okay, Pilate, well, since you washed your hands of it, I'm not going to hold you responsible for this decision. Yeah, good luck with that. Pilate refused to take the responsibility. And many today want to avoid taking responsibility about Jesus. Get your songbooks out. We're going to sing a song. Pilate lost his soul. Pilate lost his soul because he refused to take responsibility. He had a great privilege that day of being able to talk to Jesus personally. And he didn't take advantage of the opportunity. He refused to listen to the testimony of his wife and of his own conscience and of Jesus himself. He caved in to the pressure of those that were round about him. And Pilate failed to take the responsibility that he should have taken and released Jesus. As we said, many today also want to avoid taking the responsibility. Or they want to push off the responsibility. Or they want to say to themselves, I'll decide about this later. I still have some fun I want to have in this life. I still have some things I want to do yet. I don't want to be tied down to going to church every Sunday. I don't want to be tied down to always living the way Jesus wants me to live. I want to still have some fun in this world. But someday, I'm going to get around to being a Christian. So they try to push that decision off into the future. The truth of the matter is, we make that decision every day. Pilate asked the question, what shall I do unto Jesus who is called Christ? What will you do with Jesus? Will you obey him? Will you love him? Will you serve him? Will you keep his will? Will you really devote yourself unto him? If you've never obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, we encourage you to obey the gospel today. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins and confess them before this good audience. Be buried with him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. Choose to follow Jesus. Live for him today. All together we stand and sing the song that's been so